All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. I'm Combo Breaker 99, and I got a special guest in the house today. This young lady is going to be making her professional debut on Invicta FC 43, November 20th. Got Megan Penny in the house. I pronounced that right, Megan, right?
Megan, like the month of May.
Oh, Megan. Okay, Megan. Megan Penny. Thanks for coming on, Megan.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Anthony.
Yeah, so you know, just getting right to it, just kind of introduce yourself, let everybody know where you're from, what gym you're fighting out of.
Okay, so I moved here to New Mexico maybe 2 years ago now to fight out of my gym, Fit NHB. I moved from Michigan, originally from the Midwest, and yeah, it's a pretty crazy world out here in the Southwest, but I'm enjoying it a lot and I'm learning a lot.
Oh, okay. So how's everything been since like this whole pandemic for you? Like, have you been able to, you know, stay like in fighting shape throughout the year 2020? Because I know 2020 has been kind of a bust for a lot of people.
Yeah, at first it was like when COVID first hit, I gained maybe, I don't know, like 10, 15 pounds, and the gyms were closed and everything was closed. Like, I know a lot of the states, like some of the more red states, like were just completely open and like everyone was just like doing it on the down low. Like, we were like very serious about COVID. So everything was here. So I started training in the parks. I got like some free weights, like off of Craigslist. And eventually I got back in shape. And by the time the gyms opened up, maybe beginning of July, I was actually in some of the best shape of my life. So I took the first month and just did nothing and then kind of got back to it.
Okay. So like when a lot of the organizations started putting cards back on and, you know, putting events on, were you still kind of skeptic about it? Did you still kind of feel like even though there's no crowd, were you still kind of on the fence about starting back?
Honestly, no. I mean, I think that COVID, the flu, like all of that, like no one wants to be sick. No one wants to get sick. But at this point, it's like we also can't put our lives on hold forever. So I was very much ready to get on anything. I was even invited to fight on this before Invicta reached out. There was a card in Iowa that was putting something on. It was maybe like, I don't know, October. And if it had worked out logistically, I would have been open to taking it. It stinks to have to like take that risk and kind of weigh that. But at the end of the day, like I'm 25. MMA is a short career for women and men. And I think that one of the benefits of being so healthy and working out all the time for a living is I would hope that I'm a little bit stronger and less likely to have any long-term effects or serious problems from getting something like COVID. So I would take the risk.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, you know, career, you're a lady of many trades, right? You know, you do a little bit of modeling, a little bit of singing. What made you choose mixed martial arts?
So initially it was just to get back in shape. I was 21 and my little brother wanted to learn Muay Thai. And then he ended up breaking his leg within 3 months, the tibia and the fibula, like total freak accident. But I really loved it. And so I kept training and he thought he was going to come back. He didn't. A year and a half later, I break my ankle. And it was just kind of funny because my brother and I are very similar. But when he had a serious injury that had him out, he decided like, this is crazy. Like, I don't want to take a risk of like breaking my leg every now and then. Yeah. And I broke my ankle. I was the opposite. I was like, I need to get back. Like, and that's when I actually decided was in that, I don't know, 6 to 10 weeks that I was in a cast that I wanted to do this as a career because I realized like, I can't not do this. Like I'm going crazy having to sit on the couch all day long. So that's kind of when I decided I want to be more serious about this and try and turn it into a career.
Okay. So when you were doing like Muay Thai, you said Muay Thai, right? Okay. What made you go into like transitioning to straight up mixed martial arts?
So I was training Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu at first when I was in Michigan. And then since moving here to Albuquerque, it's more wrestling, boxing. I did a lot of jiu-jitsu matches in Michigan and a lot of tournaments. And I really liked competing in jiu-jitsu. And so before I broke my ankle, I decided to take my first MMA fight, but it was more of like, I want to test my skill set. I want to see how I would do, you know, not necessarily a street fight. It's not, but it's similar enough that I felt like I could get an idea of how my self-defense was working. Mm-hmm. But then when I broke my ankle and I wasn't able to do that fight, I realized in the time off that this is something I really love and why not do what I love as a career. And I was training, you know, a variety. I was training Muay Thai. I was training Jiu-Jitsu. My coach at the time used to be an MMA fighter. So it was kind of like an MMA style already. Mm-hmm. I never truly trained just one specific style. It's always kind of been the MMA world, but with a more jiu-jitsu focus. And then when I moved here now, it's more an MMA focus.
Mm-hmm. So you never really like just fell in love with like one thing. It was just all like a all around thing for you, which is kind of a good thing, right? Because that makes you more versatile, right?
Yeah, I've always really liked the sport of MMA. When I was first starting to train jiu-jitsu and I wasn't really training as much striking, but I'd still go to the striking classes, but I didn't really get it. I would watch all the UFC cards and I just loved and I think I was very inspired by a lot of the women in MMA, specifically like Rose Namajunas. Like she was one of the first women I saw in the UFC and followed. And then within, you know, 2 years of knowing who she was, I actually met her and trained out at her gym because the MMA world's so small. And that's really cool because it's like for women, especially, you can really kind of meet your idols and like train with them and be inspired by them like so easily. It's such a cool community. So I think that's probably part of it too, why I really enjoy being in the sport.
Yeah. Bringing up Rose, you know, she's definitely one of my favorite MMA fighters, period. You know, bringing her up, how did it feel, you know, to get that contract to sign to make your debut on Invicta? Because, you know, Invicta, it's been around. I've been following it since the first card. You know, I've been following it for the past 8 years. So how did that feel to be a part of that organization, like to make a debut?
So that was like a dream come true. Invicta was always my number one hope for like what the first promotion I'd work with would be. You know, he brought it up back in maybe September, like, hey, I'm going to reach out. We're going to see what happens. And then I didn't really hear anything until end of October even. And he said, you know, I'm sure something will come up eventually. Just stay ready. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep training. Don't worry about it. Something will come up. And by maybe one of the first few days of November, I was kind of like, all right, I know there's that card November 20th. Well, actually, no, it was so middle of October, though. I was kind of like, they haven't reached out yet. You know, maybe I'm not on the short list. And I'm like, but maybe I'm on the long list. So like, maybe I'll just prepare as if like I could possibly be on, like as if I were going to fight on the November 20 card. And then maybe like someone will drop out. Like there's COVID, there's, you know, fighters get injured all the time. Who knows, you know? So I'm like, if I just stay ready, like, and he was telling me, you know, stay ready, something will come up. But I kind of like given up on that card, but like I was still preparing, like, cause things happen in the fight world. And I've been asked last minute, like one championship over in Asia a year ago asked me like 3 days before if I wanted to fight some girl and like, you know, would had to make weight and be over there. And I'm like, you know, if I can just be ready for this card, you know, there's enough straw weight fights on the card, maybe that'll be my in. Mm-hmm. So I just started ready. And so when we got a call like the first week of November, you know, not just wanting to put me on the card, but wanting to offer me a contract and everything else, I was like super ecstatic, and it was way more than I hoped for. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, I know you are, because, you know, I see a lot of people posting these contracts and I'm like, you know, they really understand like this is a big thing. You know, Invicta, it's done a lot for, you know, I think bringing more women into the sport of MMA. And helping everybody take it seriously, even like the casual fans. You know, I think whenever they seen like an organization like Invicta FC come through, I think it brought more men into the sport too. You know, as far as like spectators and commentators now, you know, now they actually enjoy it. They see women take it just as seriously now, you know. So I'm glad for you, because I was like, okay, you know, we're getting more women actually making their debut here. And I think that, yeah, it makes people take it a lot more seriously, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But other question I have for you, going back to like your amateur career, like how did you kind of gauge yourself or kind of make the decision when it was time to go pro? Like, was there ever like a layout for it, or did you just say, no, I'm ready to get paid for this?
So I left that decision to my coaches pretty much entirely. Like my goal is the UFC. My goal is to make a long time career out of this. And I've never done it before. You know, I've never been a pro fighter. I've never, you know, that would be impossible, right? So like, I'm going to go with the people who have done it and have brought up other stars in the sport. My coaches, what Tim Means is one of our UFC fighters from our gym. Nico Montano was with us when she won the 125-pound belt. Mm-hmm. We've had a few different people come through, and my coaches know what they're doing in regards to that. So I waited until they told me that they think that I'm ready. And that was the conversation we had back in September with my coach. He said he was going to reach out to some different promotions. And especially with COVID, like maybe we would have waited longer. I think honestly, we were kind of already talking about going pro before COVID hit. And then it was just kind of getting enough time in the gym to see where I'm at and know that I'm still fresh, that, you know, I haven't lost anything, that, you know, everything's still where it was, where we left it. Cause we were kind of talking about that possibility before COVID even hit. So that kind of delayed things a little bit, but, my goal has always been to go pro, to make a career out of this, but it's not about getting paid now for me. It's about making this a long-term career. So whatever I need to do to make this sustainable is when the time is right. So if, whether that be now or whether it was like even 2 years from now, if that's what it meant to be as sustainable as I can be about this. So I've just been trying to do everything I can possibly do on my end. I've been building my social media following. So during COVID, I pretty much took that time to just like create a whole look to my Instagram and have it be like exciting for people and have like a plan and like be able to show like my training with my stories, be able to do like promotional stuff that's more sexy versus more fighter versus trying to have like all of the different things that I see myself as and how I want to promote myself as, and kind of knowing that and knowing who I am and who I am as a fighter and like what I want people to see when they think of me or think of when they think of me. And so just kind of getting that brand together is what I've been doing kind of during COVID, besides for training anytime I get an opportunity to. But yeah, with going pro, it was just whenever the time is the most right for me to make this a sustainable and long lasting career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've seen some of your, got a chance to see some of your amateur fights, you know, thanks to YouTube, you know, everybody posts fights up there. So yeah, I got a chance to see how you were able to work and be a little, versatile, you know, using different styles on the ground, on your feet. How important is it for you to like really have a relationship with your coaches and gyms and help them like kind of guide you? Because sometimes it seems like some fighters, they want to just take the reins and kind of run with it, but it seems like you have a good relationship. Like, how important is that for kind of all fighters to have that?
I think it's really important to have a team behind you. I think it would be very difficult in a sport like this to, and I think, you know, with that, like consistency in the gym, being in there every day, I think that's incredibly important. And I think that's kind of a shift we're seeing from the earlier days of MMA, where it was kind of just like, all right, you got to fight. So now we're going to go to the gym and we're going to train. But like, you know, then the rest of the year, you wouldn't necessarily, because it was still such a new sport and it was still such a brutal sport. Like, there wasn't the same rules. There wasn't the same regulations. It wasn't really a sport when it first came out, I think, is the way most people saw and would agree. But now it really is turning into a sport, just the way you have boxing or football, or, you know, where you have pro athletes. And when you're a pro athlete, it's important to have proper nutrition all year long. It's important to train all year long. It's important to be training technique, but also keeping your body healthy. So for me, like, I have, you know, my daily cardio, I have my daily yoga, I have my daily MMA training. And with my coaches, like I think that I'm very much in control of my schedule and what I think I need to get done. But I think that anything that they tell me in terms of like, this is what we're doing for the fight, or this is what you should be doing, or you're not doing enough with this, that's something that's going to be really important to me. And I'm going to take more seriously, because again, like I haven't done this. Like, this isn't something, you know, I haven't built a fighter. So like, right, I think right. I have that guidance. And especially with fighters, you kind of get this ego and this, like, you know, it definitely attracts a certain type of breed of people. So I think it can be difficult for fighters to be like, all right, I got to listen to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But what you really, I think it's very important that you do, because yeah, like, how else would you know how to do it?
Right. Cause I know everybody says the fighter goes into the ring, but the trainer sees things that the fighter don't see, you know? So yeah, that's good to have that relationship. So moving forward to this Invicta fight day, when do you actually leave for? Is it going to be, it's Kansas City, Missouri, right?
City, Missouri, most of the Invicta fights are. We leave on Monday. My coach Arlene and I do. She's actually in Florida right now cornering another fighter for bare knuckle boxing. And so they fly us in, who's also a female fighter. Definitely watch that if you have bare knuckle. You just have to get the app, the Bare Knuckle FC app. And yeah. Randine is fighting on that. And so that's like super exciting. And so she's out there now. She'll come back here. We fly out Monday because we have to test for COVID. I think it's the same rules as the UFC does it, I think, or it's very similar where it's like you have to come out 3 or 4 days in advance. Normally they wouldn't fly us out until, you know, the day before weigh-ins. Weigh-ins are Thursday. So we're flying out 3 days early. There's temperature checks like twice a day. Like there's a lot of things in place. We can't leave the hotel, like not even the parking lot, I think. To make sure that everyone's been quarantining enough times and the COVID test is accurate, so we don't have to worry about that. And then, of course, there's no crowd. So,
right. And only you only have like a certain number of people there, too, right? Like one or two people with you.
Yep. So I want to. I'm not sure if you're allowed to, but one is what's paid for tickets and food and everything else. So I'm just having my coach Arlene come with me, who's my usual corner. Like she went to China with me a year ago before COVID, where we knew about any of that. And so I love traveling with Arlene. She's a good one to have. But yeah, we leave Monday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had talked to a fighter on a last call. You know, I did an interview with her, and you know, we talked about the corner people, and you know, she was like, yeah, I think we can only have like one person. So you know, you got to take that right person with you. You know, so yeah, I understand that they want to keep as less people there, but going back to what we were talking about, women's MMA and, you know, it being like a big thing like boxing and football now. I mean, you actually hear women, you know, cementing legacies now, too. So it's like a big thing. What was your reaction to that, to see fighters like Nunes and like Valentina, you know, actually like cement like ground legacies now where people actually put them in the same, you know, talks with Silva, John Jones and so on, GSP and people like that? Like, what's your reaction to that now?
So, I mean, that's very inspiring for me as a woman in the sport. But I definitely think Shevchenko and Nunez and even Zhang, although she hasn't had a lot of fights yet, it's so cool to watch such a high level of MMA come out from those women, because women's MMA is just so new still. Like, think about when did the 135 pound female division even start in the UFC? Like, it's been around what, maybe not even 10 years, right?
Yeah, barely. Yes, yeah, it's just like, hitting a decade. Yeah. I'm
really off on that, but I feel like that's about, like, because I haven't been in the MMA world as long as some people. I only started training maybe 4 years ago, and that's when I kind of became exposed to this world, started watching MMA, etc. But yeah, it's really cool to see something that really there's still not a lot of women in the sport, so I think it can be difficult. I think that's where the argument comes in, right? That's where you have people who say, well, I don't know that Nunez can be the GOAT yet, because she hasn't really been able to fight that many people at her level just because there's not as many women in the sport. But I think that you're seeing her fight more and more, like high level fights. That Zhang Joanna fight I thought was really cool to see two super high level.
That was fight of the year, in my opinion. That was fight of the year.
It was crazy, yeah. Wasn't it? Like, yeah. It's so cool. That caliber in the women's MMA divisions. I don't think it's at the point. I don't think the women's division is at the point where we've got, you know, 5 to 10 women in the division that are all competing at that level for, you know, per weight class, but we're right. Working there. And I'd say, you know, the next year, 2 years, like we'll be there. And that's really exciting as a woman going into the sport. But I think it's also the fact that it is so new still is what gives women like me an opportunity to get into this sport. Having not trained my whole life, like, you know, I only started training 4 years ago, and I feel like I can be competitive, you know, with women who have been doing this a while. And I think part of that though is because it's not a huge sport yet. It's not like there's tons of women in this yet. So there's still opportunity to come up. And I don't know that that'll be there 5 to 10 years from now if the sport keeps growing as it does and as I hope it will.
Mm-hmm. Just this quick question. I never asked anybody this, but like for you, what do you feel like it is that women's MMA as a sport as a whole needs to really do to kind of push forward to be seen amongst more people? Like, because it's growing, but I mean, it's still something always kind of holding it back, in my opinion. Like, I love it, but you know, I know there's a lot of people that I can talk to, but they they still won't try to learn the fighters' names. You know, I still kind of find that kind of disrespectful. So what do you think they need to do to get the respect as a whole?
Honestly, I think it's really about building more stars in the sport. You know, Rousey was huge, you know, and everyone knew who Ronda Rousey was. And I don't really feel like we've seen someone else do that since her. And even with men's MMA, like Conor McGregor, he was huge. Everyone knows who that is. But there haven't been a lot of people who have really taken it to that star level. And I don't know if that's a marketing problem. You know, I'm a business marketing major. That's what I went to college for. So that's the way I look at it. I'm going to look at it from a marketing perspective. I think that I think it's also, sometimes it's just the right combination of luck and factors in the world watching at the right time. And, you know, that's not something that any analyst can really predict or do, yeah. But, my goal as a fighter to attract more people to the sport is to get that star power, to harness it, and to use that to get more people interested in MMA, to make it possible for there to be higher paychecks, for there to be more interest, for there to be more people tuning into MMA. So like that's where I think we need more of that mentality from fighters. I think fighting is like so draining, you know, you're cutting weight, you're prepping, there's so many things on top of like doing interviews and like even this, like today, like, man, I've had a rough day of weight cutting today. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
yeah,
got that interview. And then I've got another interview after practice. And I'm like, today just so much, but it's like, I do it and I try and make these things a priority because at the end of the day, that's how you get paid. That's how we get people watching. That's how we get viewers, is by building these things, even if it's just our abilities to give good interviews and to be engaging and to be interesting. So I think that it's us as a fighting community putting more emphasis on that.
Mm-hmm. And as you know, from the opposite side, you know, like you said, you having to do other things. I've had other people push back. So, hey, don't feel bad. Sometimes people say, hey, can we do it the next day? I'm like, fine, you know, because I know they need to get ready. And that's priority for me. You know, I don't want to be responsible for them messing something up, you know, when they're trying to cut weight. So I'm like, whatever you got to do, do it. You know, I don't mind. But yeah, definitely, you know, I understand what you're saying too, as far as like from the business perspective. Sometimes it is about timing. You know, I think it is about timing. Sometimes it might be just something that the world feels they need at that moment. But I think it's going to really come down to consistency to really get respect, though, you know, as far as a whole, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
But I don't want to take up any more of your time, but fight night, November 20th, what are you looking to do? You looking to make that big statement, go in there, get that win in dominant fashion?
Of course. I mean, the number one goal, of course, is to always get the win. You know, I'm not going to, you know, go in there trying to be flashy and do something stupid. But of course I want something like cool and exciting that like, you know, gets on the YouTube reels or finish of the year and all those things. You know, that's obviously that's my hope, but I'm going to go in there and get the win and I'm going to do what it takes to get that. And I hope it's exciting, you know, I'm not going to go in there being like, all right, I'm going to go do this flashy flying arm bar, this, you know, that's where you get dumb and you make some
right.
I'm gonna go win that fight, but hopefully it's fun to watch and, you know, turns into something that like you can show next week when you release this or whatever at the end, like, oh look, she did do the crazy, you know, it's not gonna be fun, but you know, something
that. On my channel I do post fight analysis for, you know, most of the women's MMA fights that come out, so you know, I'll be talking about it. And you know, Invicta, they haven't put on like a disappointing card yet for me. There's always been something that's been a highlight on there. But again, thanks for your time, Megan. But before you go, just let everybody know where they can follow you at, you know, your social media. I'm going to post it here for you on the side when I post the interview up later this evening, but you can also tell.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Anthony. So find me on Instagram at Megan Penning, spelled M-E-A-G-H-A-N, Penning, like writing, but with a pen. Okay. At Megan Graham. And I hope that we can do this again sometime. Thank you so much for reaching out. All right, I'm Megan Penning, and you can hear me on hashtag CB99 Talks.